Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we're waiting on Coach Kevin McHale. He's, I believe, doing shoot-around in Golden State for a game tonight. So when he's done, we will get him on the line as soon as possible. And I promise you, he will be on with us. So we'll keep him on for a while. Before we get back to more sports talk, I want to remind you guys, it is the holiday season. Christmas is around the corner. And you can do something to make it a season of giving. You can help spread unstoppable joy by visiting Finish Line stores around the Houston area and, of course, nationwide. It's the fifth year in a row now that Finish Line has teamed up with Special Olympics. As Finish Line, the premium athletic shoe and apparel retailer, is trying to do something to make an impact on these great people that participate in sports across the world. There's over 5 million Special Olympic athletes competing every day, 170 countries around the world. They're inspiring, they're fierce competitors, they are defying stereotypes, and they're breaking down barriers to be included in sports competition. When you shop your local Finish Line store or your online shopping at finishline.com, donate at checkout to the Special Olympics. Time is running out. It's game on. Visit Finish Line now until December 24th or finishline.com and make a difference. Help spread unstoppable joy this holiday season. Contribute to the Special Olympics. You can shop for the latest styles from Nike, Adidas, Brand Jordan, all your favorite brands at the newly remodeled Pearland Town Center for a Finish Line there or at your local mall or to find a store near you. Head to finishline.com and check them out. But please donate to Special Olympics this holiday season. Barry and Joel up till 4, Nick behind the glass, trying to get Kevin McHale on here in the next few minutes. So if you have questions for Coach Mac, line them up on Twitter or hit us up. You know, we were talking about the Rockets a little bit before. James Harden ties Hakeem Olajuwon, most triple-doubles in the history of the franchise. And Raheel was in here earlier, and I was saying to him and Nick, it's different when you're a center. The fact that he was able to keep that record as a center in the franchise says a lot, not to mention the fact that he was the only one to have a quad. Because you think about the assist totals for a center, they're so difficult. Even when he was kicking out for threes to good shooters, and anytime you had a 10-block game, when guys are lucky to get one, and the leaders in the league get two a game,
yeah,
it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. I was a little surprised, but not too surprised when you consider. I mean, if you watched Olajuwon game in and game out from start to finish of his career, except Toronto, we won't include that. Then I mean, it was surprising, but at the same time, it wasn't. And I know that doesn't make sense, but you forget about how good of a passer he was and how that offense really funneled through him. And you know, you had those guys, you had the Kenny Smiths of the world. I mean, he made them look better because of his ability to pass and not just near him. I mean, he could find those guys open across court and hit those passes. So, but it's cool now to see James kind of becoming up, you know, moving himself into the upper echelon of Rockets and Rockets players statistically and otherwise. So I saw another, stat the other day. And I need to find it, but it had something to do with scoring. And he's now like James is now like fifth all time on the Rockets in scoring as well. And he's moving up in assists. So it's good to see that. Here you go, Rockets leading scorers all time. Dream at 26,511. Do you you know who's second?
Second in Murph
scoring. Yep, Murphy at 17,000. That's a big difference.
Yeah,
26,000 to almost 18,000. Then Rudy.
But the other thing before you get off of that, though, people again, and I've said this before, people don't realize Calvin Murphy's more than the guy in the funky suits on TV. When you look at a guy that
balled
small,
out. Yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he averaged 40.
Yeah,
points
that I didn't know.
A game
that
in college. That's ridiculous.
College, that's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. But it was Dream, and then Murph, and then Rudy, Elvin Hayes, Malone, Yao Ming, and James Harden is now on that list. He's at 9,080. He'll pass Yao Ming this year for sure. So he will move into sixth place this year on the Rockets' all-time leading scorers.
Yeah, you know, and Yao is just he's a unique situation, too, quite simply because he got hurt. I mean, if he didn't get hurt, from a big man's skill perspective, we were talking yesterday about Boogie Cousins, and, you know, if he had it straight between his ears, he's got more talent than anybody on the planet from a big man perspective. Yao had so much touch, so much ability for a guy his size, especially a guy that was so highly doubted. I was one of them. I saw him play his first game in person in Indiana, his first year in the NBA, and I called the guys at the NBA on the plane that night getting ready to go to our next city going, this guy's going to win the starting job in the West at center, and he may be awful.
Yeah.
And he turned out to be so good. It's just unfortunately, medically, he couldn't stay on the floor. So I love the fact that he got into the Hall of Fame as a contributor. But, man, it's a shame the Houston fan base didn't get to see Yao Ming full strength for a full career.
Yeah. Richard Stites, so we got some answers to our question, yep. Our poll. Kind of rank your teams in order, Houston teams. So Richard Stites said Texans, Astros, Rockets. Jason Hebert said Texans, Astros, Rockets. So it's starting to shape up that way. SEDEX Sports said Rockets, Astros, UH football, and then Texans, which is weird.
You know who would say that? Our guy that's still MIA. Scott in Deer Park. Yeah. We still haven't heard from Scott in Deer Park. He'd put the Cougs up there.
All right, Richard. Richard said Arrows, Rockets, Texans, and Astros. You stop that. Angel Munoz, Dynamo, Machete Betty's roller derby team.
I knew there was going to be a Dynamo.
Los
mention.
Primos barbecue cooking team. Listen, I'm going to need you guys to take this serious.
But again, the Rockets are third in most people's list.
El Jefe, Texans, Astros, Cougs, Dynamo, Rockets. Okay.
He didn't even put his Spurs in there.
No, he did. Well, he said Rockets go to one when they play the Spurs. So, and some people were asking, are you talking about ticket sales or who you would buy a ticket for?
Oh, just your favorite team.
Yeah. What in the order, if they were all playing in March and all the games mattered, which one would you choose first, second, and third? Who would you want to watch the most? Dr. Dragon 290, Astros, Rocks, Texans. Nick even chimed in. Oh, quickie, Nicky.
You can't get him to talk on the show, but you can get him to chime in on Twitter.
You said Rockets, Texans, Astros, huh? You're not a big Astros fan.
Yeah, that would be my order. I mean, I've always... Okay. Texas really? Rockets has always been number one.
All right. Okay. All right. That's I like stuff. It. Did you name yours?
I
Packers,
did not.
Packers, Packers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, you know, quite honestly, for me, I love watching the Astros.
All right.
I love baseball. I played baseball in college. But I would probably go Astros, Rockets, Texans.
Okay.
I'm a Packer fan.
I got a few texts on it. Well, actually, I need to read the first text of the day. At 106, our very first text
six
of the
minutes
day,
in, baby.
6 minutes in, Barry Laminack sucks. There you go. Boom.
6 minutes. Hot take 6 alert. Minutes. Doug DeFresh, you're on.
And I did want to read this. Richard from Twitter said, to me, though, the Rockets are still going to produce the same outcome as last season. Talking about why people don't show up. It said, while it's fun to watch to most fans, they don't care because we aren't competing for a championship. And that's what Richard said from Twitter.
I want to tell you guys both this. Right off the top, I want to start with the precursor. This has no way, shape, or form anything to do with me and my previous life.
Sure, sure.
But I completely agree with Richard. This is a regular season team that is built to be highly entertaining throughout the 82 games. I just don't think, as built right now, they can go anywhere in the playoffs. Now, the other thing,
you know,
the other caveat is
from the Western Conference Finals.
They what?
They're 2 years removed.
I realized that. I was there.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is it's a totally different team.
Yeah, I would agree with
and
that.
And I also think that one thing that is a caveat, Daryl at the trading deadline always makes at least one move. If that one move strengthens them, then I could see them competing in the playoffs.
Okay. I got another text that rated their Houston teams. Houston sports teams. Cowboys, Rockets, Astros, Dynamo, Comets, Oilers, Texans.
Comets made an appearance. Wow.
The fact that they led with the Cowboys makes me hate them. It's hilarious. Don't get me wrong. I say,
now,
hate.
Nick,
I say hate all in fun.
Put your
it's
finger on the
hate.
Button because Troy wants to chime in and talk about ranking the Houston sports teams.
No, I'm fine.
It's no, Troy, I don't care how you're feeling. If you drop another S-bomb, you're not fine.
What's up, Troy?
No, sir.
All right.
Astros, Texans, and Rockets.
Okay.
And one more thing. You guys were talking about whether or not your listeners like hearing about the Rockets all the time. Yeah, we do, because you got a lot of casual fans that just listen. You've got your diehard fans that can tell you everything about them. But everybody likes the way you guys break it down, tell us what's going on. demo situation, all that. So, yeah, we like hearing about the Rockets and how you guys break it down.
Troy, before we let you go, why did we not hear about your favorite kicks of all time yesterday and rating your favorite five tennis shoes? I thought you'd be telling us about your Jordan collection and how bad you really wanted the Iversons back in the day.
No, I wore one kind of tennis shoe, and that was them old Adidas with three stripes in high school.
All right.
Leather or canvas?
Leather.
Oh.
Shell toe or just regular?
Sir?
Did they have the shell toe on them? Did they have the rubber on the toe or just like a regular old Adidas?
They had a little leather. They were just called Adidas blue three stripes.
Okay.
Okay.
That was the cool thing, but I think everybody wore them because of what Adidas stands for.
All day I dream about. I got you, Troy. I'm with you. Very well done.
I have calmed down. Yeah, everybody's excited about the Astros this year, and
they should be.
That's the team.
I would agree with that. I am excited. I think more about the Astros than I have been since 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm excited about the things that they've done. And Troy, as always, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. The thing that worries me is it looks like now Pfister is completely out of even being considered to bring back. And I think that might be a mistake. And I know that they may not be done yet, but I don't like Reddick as much as some people. I'm not big on Reddick. Yeah, I thought there were other guys out there.
But it gives them some quality depth in the outfield, even though he's a starter.
Yeah.
I wasn't big on him because he only had the one big year.
Yeah, and you're looking for a big bat. I mean, he had more doubles than he had ding-dongs. So,
although I did see a stat a couple days ago where they talked about what you were getting from the DH last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like 210, 213 was what the DH spot hit for this team. So Beltran is a tremendous upgrade at DH, which is where I think he'll play most of
the time.
Yeah.
So then that means Gattis is expendable? Or you think he's...
No, Gattis is one. He's your backup catcher.
Yeah.
But I think Gattis will... I think left field, unless they go out and sign someone, which they won't, this is going to be a platoon in left field. But it's... I think you're okay. You've got Gattis. You've got Beltran, who's probably going to platoon out there with Gattis. Right. So those guys will split time at both DH and left field. They got – what was the kid's name from Seattle that they signed? He's not a kid, 31.
Yeah, I know who's talking
Asian
about.
Fella. Yep. Aoki or
– yep. Aoki.
Yeah, Aoki. So you've got him in left field as well. So it'll probably be a platoon again like it was last year. But I would much rather have a platoon that included those three guys because I think – two of them can hit for power. Two of them can hit over 280. That's okay with me. I like that.
Okay.
I definitely like that.
Well, there you go. Barry's breaking down baseball. We're talking about a lot of sports. We're still in search of Leonard Nimoy just called. He's looking for Kevin McHale. Hopefully, we'll get him on in the near future. And then again, we've got Jake on hold because we've got our fantasy football expert, Mark Flood, from thegamerwall.com joining us at 2:30. So if you have questions for him with your playoffs and fantasy, line them up. Text, Twitter, or call ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Nick Shirara behind the glass as we continue to roll through a Thursday afternoon. Kevin McHale should be joining us sometime this afternoon, probably still in production for the game tonight on TNT. So when he gets out and turns his phone back on, we'll get him on the air. So if you've got questions for him, El Jefe already had a good one. A couple of you guys have come through with some good questions that we'll try to get him. Keith, you had one as well. We'll try and get to those. But before we do that, we want to remind everybody that Mark Flood, our resident fantasy football expert and gamer extraordinaire, will be joining us at 2:30. So if you have fantasy football questions, hit us up and we will get them to Mark. He's not an auctioneer, but he definitely will give you precise answers to your fantasy football questions.
Matt Hurst from Twitter said, comments, arrows, gamblers? Ooh, the old gamblers. You weren't around for the gamblers, were you?
I wasn't in town, but I knew who they were because Jim Kelly?
I love, my mom used to take me to, yeah, Jim Kelly. My mom used to take me to gamblers games. That was a blast. That was a lot of fun. Old school Chris, Oilers, Texans, Astros, and Rockets. Josh Rapp ranking Houston sports teams: Astros, Skeeters, Dynamo, Rockets, Texans.
Skeeters.
This, I said, where's the Cardinals? Because that's his team anyway.
Skeeter's making an appearance.
How about that Matt Hurst saying, where do the Houston Hotshots rank, the old indoor soccer team? And I just I just suggested he contacts Glenn Davis, where soccer matters.
How about not? That would be a good ranking. Ruben said, Rockets have to be first because they're the only team to bring a chip here. And then Texans and Astros.
Now, technically, the Comets and the Dynamo have brought championships to the city. Just saying. Raising that roof.
Are we really gonna count non-big three?
Who brought it first? The Rockets, right?
Rockets.
Well, first, yes. Rockets. I agree with that too. But look, you can't discriminate. What, I forget Orange Forever, whatever they said for the Dynamo, and then you know the Comets did do their thing.
Yeah. Rockets, somebody texted in and said the Rockets had tickets for $7 yesterday. And still nobody went.
On StubHub or with the team itself?
No, I have no idea.
I doubt that the team itself were selling
$7
tickets.
But I did hear from two or three different people in this building that the tickets were cheap. Like, really cheap.
That's good. They should be.
All right. Y'all need to settle down. Skeeters, Texans, Rockets. I'm not going to stand for this.
No, and
this
they're technically, now, and that's on me, technically the third team to bring championships to the surrounding area would be the Skeeters because of this year.
They won a championship?
Yeah. Oh, boy. And they're a sponsor of the station. Hey, how about those Skeeters?
Andre said, Cowboys, Cavs, absolutely no baseball. Matt from Beaumont, Rockets, Cougars, Rockets.
You see Cowboys, Cavs?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then he wants to know, so he said Beaumont, Rockets, Cougars, Rockets. This is Matt from Beaumont, sorry. Is D'Antoni the coach of the year in the NBA as of right now?
As of right now, I can't argue with it.
Nope.
I would say absolutely.
Okay. I realize I left the Cougs out, but.
Yeah, it's all right.
So did Tom Herman.
It's okay. It's all right.
Sorry,
if you did.
Nick, it was right.
Hey,
it's all good.
Real quick, do you guys care if I plug a couple shows I have coming up?
Well, we do, but you can do it anyway.
I care. Okay.
You do? You do care? Guess what? It's happening anyways. No, I have a show tonight at Martini's and More in the Woodlands. It starts at, I think, 8. I don't know. Yeah, I think
home
it starts
field
at
advantage.
8.
You think it's
8? I think it starts at 8. And then tomorrow I'm at a place called Traffic Premium Lounge downtown. And I bring this up because people are always asking me on Twitter that listen to the show, hey, when's your next show? When can I come see? I want to come see you do stand-up. So this is the first couple of shows I've had in almost 6 weeks, and they're local, and I've only got 3 shows left. I've got tonight at Martini's and More in the Woodlands, tomorrow at Traffic Premium Lounge downtown, and then Tuesday I'm at the Houston Improv. That one's a big one. Like, if people came out to that, I would appreciate it because I'll actually be filming or recording the set to submit to Kevin Hart. So that'll be kind of cool.
I've never been to either one of those venues, but I've seen you perform. So, yeah, you guys should definitely check Barry out for sure.
Word up. I appreciate that.
You also want to plug your T-shirts?
No, I don't care.
Okay. So Barry's going to be out and about. Basically, the show is 8 o'clock tonight in the Woodlands or about because it's at Martini's and More. But if you've had more martinis, it might be a little after 8, just depending on
this is true
how it's flowing. And downtown, what traffic?
Traffic Premium Lounge.
Where's that at?
It's like right on the main. I think it's right Travis? On the main. Okay. No, there's like – I know that the metro rail is right in front of it.
Oh, that's got to be Main.
But, yeah, but it's like, I don't know. I just know this. If you're coming to Traffic tomorrow, John Wessling's headlining. I'm featuring for him. John Wessling of, you know, old 97.5 and 1560. But he's headlining. I'm featuring for him. There's other hilarious comics. But the parking is terrible.
So 2401 Main.
Yeah, get there early for parking if you're coming on Friday. Yep. But that'll be a fun show. Andy Huggins is on there. I don't know if you guys know anything about comedy, but Andy Huggins is... 30-year legend, Texas Outlaw Comics. He performed with Bill Hicks, Sam Kennison. He's open for Foxworthy. So, yeah, it's going to be a great show Friday. Come out.
That's awesome.
Yep. Going to be
and
fun.
And I'm going to need you to make sure that my wife just told me yesterday she's a huge fan of Chris Rock and he's coming in May. So make that happen for her.
She I think also Seinfeld. Will
Seinfeld
be in
sold out.
In the Sugarland, new, in that new venue in Sugarland.
I guess he's doing two shows.
So we can't
and I was told yesterday he sold out quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. They go fast.
She wants to see him too. So guess what, honey? Christmas is right around the corner. But wow, I'm gonna have to do some heavy duty lifting to try and get those Seinfeld tickets.
Good luck with that, Lenny. Lenny has a list. Are you guys ready for Lenny's list?
Yep.
Cavs, Indians, Browns, Buckeyes, and Blue Jackets. Okay.
Hockey in there.
I guess.
Hockey.
I guess the question wasn't specific enough. It was supposed to be about Houston sports teams.
Right. But he's talking
and
about
and we allowed a cowboy in there, but whatever.
They wanted to talk about the organization of hockey.
I guess.
All right.
I guess.
Well, without further ado, I see Nick has company in there, which means our man Mark Flood is in the building, and he will be joining us next with fantasy football answers to your fantasy football questions, and maybe even a little gaming as... By the way, Mark promised you a game.
Yeah, he was supposed to bring me Madden.
Let's see what's going on with that, too, because you can't have empty promises and be a part of our show.
Because I want to go out and be in one of those tournaments. I want to go out there and do it. But I can't with no game.
Mark, you can't take his money if you don't give him a game. So give before you take. It's a give and take relationship.
I'm not paying anything. Oh, you're, okay. You're nuts.
Well, there you go. Mark Flood's next. So let's hit him up with questions. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick until 4. We have a guest in the studio we're going to get to in just one quick second, but as we try and make sure that throughout the day we also provide you the breaking news, unfortunately, this go-around, breaking news is heart-wrenching. Please go out and wear something very loud and crazy in the next couple days to honor Craig Sager. Craig Sager lost his fight today and his battle with cancer and passed away. Not just an NBA guy, but in the sports profession. And he was just this weekend inducted into the Broadcast Hall of Fame. A guy that was in a fishbowl that allowed the whole world to witness the fight that he went through to try and beat cancer. And unfortunately, cancer sucks and cancer won. But tip of the cap to Craig Sager for one hell of a fight. And anybody you talk to will tell you a class act. So rest in peace, Craig.
Very sad.
Yeah. So with that being said, we need to try and uplift it a little bit. And a lot of you are in fantasy football playoffs right now. Those playoffs are heating up. I'm in the Final Four. Barry, I know that you have been entrenched in a couple of leagues. So Mark Flood, our resident fantasy football expert and the king of the Gamer Wall and thegamerwall.com or at the Gamer Wall on Twitter, has some interesting takes on what you should do and not do getting ready for your playoffs if you're still in for fantasy football. And again, we've got a lot of text to get to with matchups, which we'll get to those as well. But one of the things I wanted Mark to tell you guys about in terms of just planning for your lineups this week in playoffs is don't get cute. But don't overthink it. It was interesting. Keenan and I were talking about it last night. We were talking about our teams and playoffs. And you got a guy like Melvin Gordon going out in San Diego. Don't overthink it. But if you can, get his back up because he's probably going to get – he had 13 points last week. He's probably going to get a lot of love and a lot of run. But also, like I've told you guys, I have 3 quarterbacks. I have 2 tight ends. But at this point in the game – the smart play is you're not playing for next week and down the line. So if you got to cut an extra tight end or one of your quarterbacks and it can help you strengthen and fill a role like me trying to fill a running back position, go do it because if you lose, there is no next week, right?
Exactly. When it comes to roster moves like that, the only consideration there is if you're in a keeper league.
Right.
And so if you know one of the other players in the playoffs can pick up a player, maybe you got to think about that before you let some guy go who might be good keeper value, but outside of that, I mean, there is no next week if you lose, so let it rip.
Barry, you want to let it rip?
Sure. Starting on the text lines, and I'll get to some tweets as well if you want to tweet me your questions at Barry is funny. Jordan Howard or Tyreek Hill as a flex for the weekend?
You know, my opinion on Tyreek Hill has changed. That guy is so explosive.
Isn't he, though?
I just don't think you can put not play him. You just feel not good about yourself after he goes off for 30
especially
points.
When you consider his contributions in the passing game as well, not just the running game, returns,
but
passing
in the
game.
Return, I mean,
he's literally a triple threat.
It's an interesting take, though, but in the returns, a lot of times I have the Chiefs special teams and defense. I would get those. Does the person that plays him in their lineup get those as well?
It depends on your league settings. Our league settings only if it's a touchdown. So if they return a kick or a kick or a punt
right,
for a touchdown,
I mean.
they get those points. They're not going to get yards or anything like that. And then also, in addition, the special teams gets it. Defense special teams gets the points as well.
Yep.
All right. QB question, Stafford or Taylor?
Man, that's really going to come down to the injury report. You're going to want to monitor that injury report extremely closely. If Stafford goes, I'm going Stafford. But you got to watch that injury report.
All right, similar question, Big Ben or Tyrod Taylor?
Big Ben.
Okay. Tyreek Hill, Brandon Marshall, or Jimmy Graham?
Again, ride that hot hand. Tyreek Hill, explosive player. Got to get him in your lineup right now.
Oh, sorry. They said they can start two. Tyreek Hill, Brandon Marshall, or Jimmy Graham. So pick two.
I'll go Jimmy Graham by a hair. Okay. The Seahawks had a not very good game last week, so it is a little bit difficult to say that. Work. But I think you go with Jimmy Graham there.
Okay. Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, or Ben Roethlisberger.
Let's see. I'm going to go with Big Ben there.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
They're still playing. They need wins. They need all the wins they can get right now. So I like a lot of the Steelers players
okay.
right now.
PPR got to start two. Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham, Devontae Adams.
Say one more time.
PPR league, they need to start two of them. Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham, Devontae Adams.
I guess they could play two tight ends, but if that's the case, I'm going Jimmy Graham and Jordan Reed.
Okay. Brady at Denver, Palmer versus Saints.
Palmer Saints.
Okay.
Running back, Freeman, any two, the San Diego fill-in, Freeman of Atlanta, Rashard Jennings of the Giants. Kenneth Farrow is the running back from University of Houston that's supposedly filling in for Melvin Gordon.
Yep, I'll take the fill-in plus Freeman.
Okay.
All right, Cody wants to know, play Julio Jones or no?
Let's see. What's his injury status right now? Is it?
It's gone from turf toe to a sprained toe, and I know it's still up in the air, his status.
See, that's always scary, man. When you're rolling into the weekend and it's playoff time and you got a guy like, you know, Julio Jones or even like Theo Riddick who sat out last game is questionable for this game.
Yeah, the answer to that question comes down to how likely is he okay, if he goes, if he plays, is there any chance he's going to get yanked in the middle of the game, or is there a chance that he's going to get thrown out there just as a decoy? And so those sprain injuries like that are always very concerning to me, especially Julio Jones in particular, who has a bit of a funny history with injuries like that. So the answer to that is if that position, which I'm sure it is if it's Julio Jones in that spot, is extremely important and you have to get points there. You cannot afford a goose egg in that spot. You got to take the safe choice and make a replacement play there. Of course, monitor that situation extremely close. Any information that you can find that would indicate, you know, on a scale of 1 to 100, how healthy he is could change that.
Follow the beat writer of that team on Twitter because that's normally where you're going to get up to the minute.
That's so a good tip right there.
That's big as well. I got one. They have two receiver positions open, and they also have the flex. Antonio Brown, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, Deshaun Jackson, and three of the four, I guess.
Pick three out of those four?
Yeah. And Randall Cobb. So they have Jackson, Cobb, Watkins, Landry, Antonio Brown. Obviously, Antonio Brown.
Just send a screenshot of your roster. Jeez.
Hey, yeah. So I'm going Antonio Brown. No questions asked there. Jarvis Landry scares me because the backup quarterback coming in for Miami is a pretty dodgy situation. So let's go ahead and get Jarvis Landry off that list.
Okay.
So you got Sammy Watkins and Cobb.
And Deshaun Jackson. And Cobb, all choices for the – you've got Brown and Jackson. They got one spot open. They have Cobb, Deshaun Jackson, Sammy Watkins.
Yep, I'm not really comfortable putting Sammy Watkins in there.
Okay.
So we'll go with Cobb, Brown, and Jackson.
Okay.
There you go.
From Twitter, we'll do these rapid fire as well. Big Ben or Stafford?
Big Ben.
Ajayi or Blunt?
Ajayi.
All right. DeMarco Murray versus the Chiefs or Freeman Coleman tandem versus Niners?
Freeman Coleman tandem versus Niners or DeMarco Murray. I'll go with the tandem there.
Okay.
Jared in Houston, you got a question. What's up, man? Jared, you there?
Here.
Go ahead, man. Let it go.
All right. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm building my Millionaire Maker lineup on DraftKings, and I'm wondering what you feel about Dontrell Emmett and Phillip Rivers. Kind of trying to go value wide receiver quarterback.
Right. You know, to be quite honest with you, when it comes to the daily fantasy, there's a lot of other factors that go into that. Now you really have to start calculating implied odds and such. So it's kind of a different animal there. And so without doing too much research on that, just my gut feeling there is that you're going to want to make sure that you get those points, assuming that there's payouts for anything else other than first. If there's not anything of, if it's first place or nothing, then you're going to want to take the high risk, high reward player. But if you got to get your money back by being in the top 10 or top 20 or whatever, you're most likely going to make sure you have a high floor. So Rivers.
There you go, Jared. Hope that helped. Hey, and before we let you go, Mark, we know we're getting closer to the big game here in Houston. We also know there's a lot of things going on your website and Twitter account. So please let everyone know if they have a late fantasy football question or they just want to reach out to you, let them know how to reach you and then let them know about the big game challenge.
Yep. Feel free to reach me at TheGamerWall on Twitter. I'll be happy to help you out with any fantasy. For those of you that have already tweeted me, you know that sometimes I like to get into the DMs and get real specific with you. So I'm happy to do that. In addition to that, I want to remind you guys that we are giving away two tickets to the big game for the winner of our big game tournament. That tournament will begin online on January 15th. It'll run for approximately 2 weeks, and the championship will be played at the big game party the Thursday before the Super Bowl. So make sure you are registered on thegamerwall.com to be eligible to join, and we will notify you when tournament registration starts.
All right, real quick before we let you go, Alonzo, we can't get to you on the call. We can get you the question. Gurley or Bilal Powell?
I'm going to go Bilal Powell here. Again, you're going to want to monitor the injury report on Forte. If Forte goes, Powell becomes more of a flex consideration as opposed to an RB1. But he had 30 touches last week, and if Forte's out, I think you can expect a similar level of touches, which should equate to production.
Carr or Luck?
Man, after last week, I got burned on Carr, but I guess a lot of quarterbacks played poorly last week. We'll go with Luck there.
There you go. You guys got your questions answered. And if you have more, you can reach Mark at TheGamerWall on Twitter, and he will get to them, or go to TheGamerWall.com. We've got a whole much more show to go, so don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Joel Berry and Nick till 4 o'clock as we are still trying to track down one
Live
Kevin McHale,
warehouse.
Who is scampering around the Bay Area getting ready for basketball tonight on TNT. And if the broadcast voice didn't fool you, it is Joel Berry and Nick here at ESPN 97.5. Tough situation right here for us because we had Mark waiting to come on, and we just got informed during the break that Craig Sager passed away. And you know, I'd say it was a basketball situation that basketball fans can relate to and people around basketball, but Craig Sager bridged a lot of gaps in broadcasting. I mean, he always wanted to cover the Olympics, but he was always a loyal Turner guy. Great story because he married a Chicago Bulls cheerleader and is one of those guys that is so proud of his wife and his family and his great son that he always made sure on his Christmas cards it was a picture of the family. He always was very, very uplifting even before he went through all that he went through with cancer on his Twitter accounts and otherwise. And anyone that crossed paths with Craig Sager will tell you that he was a class act. Really, really good guy. Always easy to talk to, wanting to help others. And then he goes through the battle with cancer, and a lot of people could crawl into a shell, could get defensive, could get very private. And instead, as I said before Mark came on, he instead did it in a fishbowl. He allowed you into every aspect of every fight, of every chemotherapy treatment, of all that he was doing, just quite simply, I think, to make people more aware of what everyday average people are going through when they fight cancer and how difficult an uphill battle it can be, but that if you stay positive and you keep pushing forward and you keep trying to do the right things the right way, that good things can happen. And he beat it for a while, and he had put up one hell of a fight. And you talk about, I don't think it's ever been done, or it's been rarely done, that someone has had more than one transplant trying to make sure that they can beat cancer. And he went through all of that, and he kept fighting. And everybody really thought after this last transplant that he was going to beat it. I know Charles Barkley will tell you time and time again that Craig is at the top of his list, and that Charles actually flew in to be with Craig here in the medical center quietly, without publicity, just to be by Craig's side, because that's how much he thinks of Craig Sager, and that should tell you something in itself. But from Ernie to Shaq, to Charles, to the NBA family, to anyone across the country. And I said he just got inducted into a Broadcast Hall of Fame ceremony on the East Coast this weekend. It's kind of like we were talking about Calvin Murphy. You know Craig Sager because you think crazy ties and crazy suits. But at the end of the day, the people that truly knew Craig Sager knew a class act with a huge heart that was a family guy that fought his rear end off to try and beat cancer. And for that, I say tip of the cap and job well done, and you will not be forgotten anytime in the near future.
And I know he was really, really respected, like among other broadcasters and players and stuff like that, but I didn't really realize how respected he was until last year when I think it was an ESPN game and they came to Houston and played the Rockets. I don't know, I forget which ESPN game it was, and he was just looking for all the players in both locker rooms, the home and the visitor locker room, because he knew this could potentially be his last chance. And he was just, you can just tell how genuine he is around players and former players.
He walked into the USA basketball locker room after the exhibition here, and the players literally lined up to get to him, to give him hugs and encouragement and to talk to him. And I think that, and the other thing that's always a huge sign of what kind of a character guy you're talking about, Greg Popovich, who's the toughest guy in the world and hates coaches' interviews.
I was about to say, I think I remember two things pretty vividly. That interview that they did when he was sick, and Pop was still mean to him, but in the most playful and genuinely caring way that you wouldn't expect from Popovich. And then the Jordan interview that was more recently done with Craig Sager as well. But, those two stand out to me quite a bit, and it's sad and it's tragic, and you hate to see that. But like you said, he didn't shy away from the publicity of what he went through, and hopefully that helps people and families that were going through that and are going through that learn how to cope with it, because it's difficult, man. It's a terrible, terrible disease.
And you talk about over a length of time. You mentioned Jordan, LeBron, D Wade, Kevin Durant. They would listen to his first question and then turn it around and say, first and foremost, man, so great to have you back.
Yeah.
Great to see you again. And here's two other things to keep in mind. We know that broadcasting these days is such a fiercely competitive business. There's not room for any crossover. You're either on your team that you work for, or you're on the other team that's trying to compete to get you or steal you away. The fact that he was allowed the opportunity this year to work his first NBA finals because of the fact that he was so highly thought of that ABC and ESPN took someone from a quote-unquote competitive TNT environment, brought him over. And the only thing that I'd say of all the things that he was able to overcome and still do, he wanted to do the Olympics so badly, and that was when he had one of his relapses and wasn't able to go. And with all of the scares going around with the Zika virus and all the different things that could happen too, he wasn't able to do the Olympics this summer, and that was one thing I was bummed out about. But overall, you talk about the fight. Talk about the fact that he was public. You talked about the fact that throughout the fight he was encouraging others, and he was still trying to work every game he possibly could. Man, I'll tell you what, a true class act, and a guy that touched a lot more of lives than he probably realizes, and you'll probably see a lot more now that he's gone, unfortunately, and he can't personally see it. You're going to hear a lot of people tell a lot of stories about what an inspiring, influential person Craig Sager was.
Very sad. 2016 has been rough.
Brutal.
So just in sports, you figure Craig Sager has passed away, Ali, Pat Summitt, Arnold Palmer.
Wow.
Big names.
Wow.
In the sports world. And then
legends.
Yeah, and then other names.
Prince.
Just this year, yeah. Gene Wilder, Janet Reno, Nancy Reagan, Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird.
David Bowie.
Florence Henderson, David Bowie, Prince, Castro, John Glenn. It's been...
And then
I don't remember a year like this. Yeah, and Alan Thicke,
just the other day.
And but there's been, like, it's just... this year, for some reason, when you talk about the likes of Ali and Prince passing away in the same year, that's just... That's an enormously sad year for icons that have left us.
And very, I think the other thing to take away from all this, too, is you can always think that you've had a bad year or bad things happen. Other people have always... are always out there that have had it worse.
Yeah, death is about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, but just think about the fight Craig had to go through day in, day out just to try and stay alive and everything he put into that. It's never as bad as you think it is out there, gang, and you need to be very appreciative, especially during the holiday season. Be thankful for what you have and realize it could be a lot worse, and then take a moment to kind of love and hug those around you, because you never know. You're not promised tomorrow, and that's why we say, rest in peace, Craig Sager. Going to be missed by a lot of people, both viewers, fans, and just people in the broadcasting world. So good way to kind of close out segment two and maybe even a little silence as we go out, just to say, Craig, we love you, we miss you, and a job well done.
ESPN 97.5.